I start with trying to describe the strategy that led to the Affordable Care Act's features. Secondly, to describe the four different features of it, and only then to try to come to an evaluation of it. And my overall view is simple, that it is a very confusing bit of legislation, not very well explained. It perpetuates the complexity and costs of American medical care, but it makes some improvement in the availability of health insurance and the protection of some Americans from being devastated by expensive hospital stays and expensive pharmaceutical treatment.
To get to that point of being that you said it makes some improvements, you know, is it worth keeping warts and all, or is it better to possibly, you know, trash this and go somewhere else? Is that even possible at this point?
I don't think it's possible at this point. If the Congress were to try to do so after this, you know, in this period of time, it would be vetoed by the president. And the president is not in a position with this Congress to advance a major overhaul. I think we're probably, as far as the eye can see, we're going to have changes in American health insurance which protect those Americans who would not have gotten insurance otherwise because of pre-existing conditions or other limitations. I think that's settled. It is not settled what the role of Medicaid is going to be, and it's certainly not settled as to anything like the 50-some million Americans that were the target, the uninsured, that a major proportion of those people will get insurance. There will be some, and we know now that there's something on the order of 7 million new enrollees. We don't know exactly how. We know that there's something like 3 million increases in Medicaid. But the point I would make to Americans is you first have to understand why it's so complex. And the way I think about it is that we began with a patchwork of American medical care programs, and then what the Affordable Care Act is a series of new patches on the patchwork.
So no law is perfect. We know that, I guess, is the chance that this can be fixed as it goes. It seems like just opening another can of worms. I mean, we've seen such controversy surrounding this that maybe people don't, you know, maybe lawmakers don't really want to address any of that issue right now. But eventually it seems like they're going to have to.
I agree with that. We will discover how many boundary problems arise when you try to put patches on a patchwork and knit it together into a coherent quilt. It's possible to do. Other systems have produced something like universal health insurance by aggregating different programs, but it's going to take a coherent understanding of that knitting together between the president and the Congress, and I don't see the prospects for that in the very short run. So I would predict instead continuing controversy and shouting across the aisles at one another, sadly.
We're talking with Yale professor Ted Marmor. He's also written a book, a co-author of a new book on social insurance. He's going to be speaking on the UIS campus tomorrow night, and that event is free. You talked about other countries. I had read where, like you said, other countries may have gotten this right, and the U.S. didn't. Did the U.S. look at other countries, do you think, when this was being put together? Did they take some things from what other places have done, or did the U.S. just try to go it alone?
Unfortunately, the U.S. largely did it alone. The people in the White House who were responsible for this and the consultants they used were, on the whole, innocent of real understanding of what other countries have done. Neither the experience of Canada to the north, which would be an example of, in effect, expansion of Medicare, or in Germany, Holland, Belgium, where they have many different insurance programs administered by different organizations, but using common rules and a common benefit care arrangement to knit together administrative administratively separate programs, but at least understandable across the different groups.
I know there are a lot of people out there who have talked before and maybe even shown some instances of private employers dropping insurance because of this. So people who didn't feel as though this was really aimed at them in the beginning because they had insurance, they were not the uninsured, now find themselves having to be part of this program. How widespread is that problem, and is that part of the confusion that's out there?
It is part of the confusion that is out there, and the scale of it is not understandable yet. We don't have a clear understanding. What we have is, for sure, complaints. And we have complaints as well from groups like the Taft-Hartley labor management special programs that have something on the order of 20 million Americans in them. They were not given special protection under the legislation, and they have degrees of health insurance protection that is very, very substantial, and they're under some threat because of other features of the Affordable Care Act, which have the effect of punishing programs which are quite generous in their insurance coverage.
You also talked about this not being explained well. So, I mean, should we view this as a PR failure, not only on the White House, but maybe on others who have been big supporters of it?
No, I think it's a big failure on the part of the White House. I think that's where it should be focused. The president made a fuss about American health care in the election of 2008. He said we needed something like universal health care, which is a misdescription of what insurance is. The distinction is between insurance and health care. They're not the same things. But if you want to understand why he did that, there is an explanation I think I can give, which is that his advisors took the experience of President Clinton's failure at health care reform as a negative lesson and came up with a strategy that could be described as not Clinton. And if you recall, in the early 1990s, the Clinton strategy was to get 500 people to help him design a plan, to take 9 months to do so, present it as the Clinton plan, and it fell flat on its face. So the advice that the president was given and the advice he took was to shift this over to the Congress and support what it is that they've created with his general orientation. That was a mistake because the result was that 60% of the population just a month or two ago was confused about what it is. And if it's your signature issue, you're responsible for not only speaking to it, but leading good part of the discussion of it with your allies in the Congress.
And I don't want to make people think as though you're just you're anti Obamacare. So, I mean, I do want to make sure that we get that point. There are some problems with this piece of legislation, this law that's in place, but you see ways to improve that going forward and to make something like this work?
It's going to be a hard slog. I'm not Panglossian. I don't believe we're in the best of all possible worlds, and I don't think we're going there. I would put it somewhat differently. I would say I applaud trying to address the lack of insurance, underinsurance, and the very high costs of American medical care. The strategy that was taken and the legislation that emerged is a very mixed bag at best, but I don't think we're going back. I think we're going to have a long slog, and I hope that the administration becomes much better at explaining the unambiguously good things they're doing for people without insurance, and at the same time they try to cushion the unexpected effects of doing things they never explained.